You're listening to the Men Overseas Podcast, a show that explores methods and ideas to help you live a bigger life. You will hear interesting stories of how people live, how they save and invest their money, and why having time wealth is better than being a billionaire. If you are entertained, educated, or elevated, be sure to hit the subscribe button. We're just getting started. Now here is your host, Brad D'Antonio.
Hello, beautiful listeners. Coming to you from Prague, Czechia this week. Why Prague? I'll give you a little background on my fascination with this part of Central Europe. But if it's cool with you, I need to back up, go back in time a little bit. It'll probably take a few minutes. I tend to meander. But if you lived in my brain, you'd meander too. When I was 5, 6 years old, my mom would take us to Southland Mall in Houma, Louisiana. This is 1985, for those of you scoring at home. Or if you're alone, credit to POS Keith Olbermann for that joke. At this Southland Mall, which still stands, by the way, it's pretty much a ghost town like many of the malls in Houston. Gone pecan. In Louisiana, a pecan is a pecan. In Texas, a pecan is a pecan. In Louisiana, praline. Texas, praline. So I had to make some adjustments when I moved to Texas as a young teen. I had a girlfriend in high school, actually, who wanted to know if, because I was from Louisiana, did I eat jumbo? True story. Then, of course, the gangster dudes, they'd hear my accent and say, damn, where you stumbled at? And I'd say, from where they make gumbo at? That's not a true story, because I don't think Lil Wayne came out with Right Above It until I was 30. Yeah, 2010, I was 30. By that time, I had stopped calling the rap station in New Orleans, Q93. Whenever they'd play a banger on Q93, the DJ would say, call in, let us know whether you want to slam that or jam that. And I would listen just to hear the unique names. It'd be like, Ron Keisha, we going to slam that or jam that? Oh, jam that. You heard Ron Keisha, we going to jam that. Steph Ronnie, what we going to do? Slam that. Oh, Steph Ronnie say slam that. Oh, who's my next caller? Sharice, what we going to do? Oh, we going to jam that. And it would go from there. He'd probably take 20 calls. It would take a while. And it was more entertaining than it was informative on what was going to be the next hitter. Which may be the unstated goal of the podcast, by the way. I don't really have an objective. Just L-I-V-I-N. Shout out Dirty D, my buddy who always reminds me, you just got to keep on living. Chances are, if you're in my orbit, if you're in my circle of friends, then living a bigger life, that's part of the deal. You got to surround yourself with people striving to do big things. It'll encourage you to be your best. As you get older, your conversations tend to revolve around things that matter. How can I be a better father, friend, provider, man of God, that sort of thing. Speaking of studs, I remember spending the night at my cousin Adam's house when I was little. Where you at, Adam D? He was living in New Orleans when we were kids. He resides in Tampa now. Actually, almost 10 years to the day, I flew into Tampa to give a software presentation. And that night, he took me to Tropicana Field, which is where the Tampa Bay Rays play, or Tampa Rays, or Devil Rays. I'm not sure what they call them now. But we sat 15 rows up behind the plate. And you would think those are big baller seats. There are no big baller seats at Tropicana Field. I want to say we paid $43 a ticket. Because the venue where the Rays play, it's got to be the worst in all of baseball. I've been to a few AA stadiums around the country, AAA stadiums. They are way better than where the Rays play. It felt like we were in Cambodia's second best dome stadium, maybe where they play a soccer match against Laos or something. It was terrible. The facilities are bad. But I did thoroughly enjoy that experience with my number one cousin. So he's living in New Orleans. We're kids. And the popular not rap music station there was called B97. B97 had Walton and Johnson in the morning. Casey Kasem did the top 40 on Saturdays. And, well, RIP Casey Kasem. I should also say RIP to the Walton half of Walton and Johnson. But one night I'm at my cousin's house. I'm 9 years old. I called B97 to request the song Joy and Pain by Rob Bass and DJ Easy Rock. You remember the jam. So I call in about 11 p.m., and I'm just thinking of this now, but hopefully my nanan didn't need to make an emergency call because I fell asleep with the phone next to my ear, and then I woke up at 8 a.m. the next day, and the phone was still ringing. So that was the last time I ever called into a radio station. Back to Southland Mall. So it opened in the summer of 69. That was back when I got my first real six string. Bought it at the Five and Dime. That's not true either. That's a song by Brian Adams, a Canadian, which just so happens to be my first concert ever. April 16th, 1992. I tagged along with my mom, brother, and his girlfriend at the time. Her name was Melissa. Funny story, we were getting ready for the concert. I had my Jabot jeans on. You listeners who are about my age will remember, if you weren't old enough to buy cigarettes yet, then you weren't cool unless you had the little white rectangular logo across your zipper. It would read Marité and François Jabot. Real fancy. And then for extra credit, you could tight roll them at the bottom, which I did. I'm always looking to exceed expectations. So I come out ready for the concert, Jabot jeans, tight rolled, polo tucked in, bangs on my forehead. That's a prerequisite to live in the South. So this girlfriend of my brother says to me, Bradley, you have a really big butt. So I was self-conscious after that. But then when I got older, having ass was a positive. So I win that one. The Southland Mall had an arcade, and the anchor store there was Sears, which was the anchor store of many malls back then. They had opened Sears even before the mall opened. So they opened Sears in 66, the mall opens in 69. And then for 50 years, before it closed in 2016, Sears was the place to go to get appliances. And it was like Best Buy and Kmart combined, maybe. I don't really remember, but Sears was the it store. So that's how anchoring it was for this mall in Houma, Louisiana. I imagine the mall's got to be a ghost town. Maybe it's held together by the old school Kohl's or something. By old school Kohl's, I mean JCPenney. Actually, I have a JCPenney story. I'll save it for another time. So my bro and me, we'd bring a bunch of quarters to the mall. And the reason is we wanted to spend time in the arcade while my mom took time to look at every blouse with shoulder pads in the entire mall. So we liked to play the baseball game. The game was so fun. But they would ask for more quarters after your first at bat. So you just get taken. They would just siphon money from your pockets. So I'd go to the pole position. My brother would keep playing baseball. Pole position is the same way. If you get to third gear, they want more quarters. So it's a total ripoff. So the game that we did enjoy playing together, that we were able to get some time for our quarter, was Super Mario Brothers. So when the Nintendo game console came out, this is October 1985, my bro assumed the role of lead negotiator in the family to secure us one of those bad boys for Christmas. And we didn't get it right away. Maybe my dad, the accountant, did some math and realized it'd probably be more economical to get us the game console rather than see all his quarters taken by the arcade monster. So we got the lesser version of Nintendo, the one that didn't come with Duck Hunt, which was fine by me. Despite being raised in South Louisiana, I didn't grow up in a duck blind. And I believe the reason is because my parents are from the big city, at least big city by Louisiana standards. They're from New Orleans, which is about a third the size of Austin. It's about a quarter the size of San Antonio and a tenth the size of Houston. Houston is ginormous. In fact, even Dallas is only half the size of Houston. My affinity for all things New Orleans runs real deep and probably got deeper after we had a chance to live there during the pandemic. My South Louisiana roots probably explain my Lil Weezy super fandom, not to mention he's got 5 Grammys, 2 Music Award, MTV Music Awards, and 4 Billboard Music Awards. Dude is super talented. But Weezy likes to take Holly Grove chicks to his Hollywood shows. Well, that's because Mr. Card is from Holly Grove in New Orleans, which just so happens to be within walking distance, a few blocks from where my dad grew up. though I'll go out on a limb and say he's probably never taken a stroll through Holly Grove. That's a neighborhood that you just wouldn't go into. Let me keep Lil Wayne, Love, and the Fam for a sec. A few solo episodes ago, I shared how much my daughter likes to dance. Well, she also likes to pretend she's a bunny. So I played for her what was a popular line dance song when I was in college. The song is called Bunny Hop. I play the radio version, of course. So now she asks me to play the Bunny Hop song a few times a week. And there's only so many times you can hear ba 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 da da without wanting to cancel your Spotify subscription. So I wanted to find something else that she might like. And since she likes lollipops a lot, I played lollipop, lollipop, you know, that one. Well, you know where this is going. She didn't much take to the song. It wasn't very danceable. So I'm thinking, well, maybe she's stunting like her daddy. Maybe if it costs less than 20, it doesn't look right on her. You know what I mean? So I play the only other lollipop song I know. Shorty say I'm let. So she danced to that one, but I couldn't tell whether she was really digging it or not. So I turned it off. Well, yesterday, I'm sitting on the couch. She walks up to me and says, Dada, can you play She Wanna Lick the Rapper? Yes, I can. They say you're a superstar now. Damn, I guess I am. I told you I'd meander. So we get a Nintendo by the time I hit second grade. I loved my second grade teacher, by the way. Miss Toops, she was great. Her classroom was in a different building than the evil kindergarten and first grade teachers I had. So maybe that prevented me from being the only kid at first communion without cauliflower ear. Plus her sons are studs. Anyway, my bro and I start getting every sports game for Nintendo that was made. And one of them was ice hockey. Well, the teams you could choose from were USA, Canada, Russia, etc. Well, the team I liked to play with was Czechoslovakia because it had a cool name and it was hard to spell. And I kind of prided myself on being able to spell well. And that's right, your humble host, I've never made a less than 100 on a spelling test, not once. I've also never used spell check on a computer. Stay tuned, I'm sure I'll brag more later. But here's the thing about Czechoslovakia, or more specifically, Prague. It wasn't possible to visit here as a tourist during the Cold War. I mean, you could do it, but you could also visit North Korea tomorrow. Well, that would be stupid. So travel for Westerners when I was growing up was you were going behind the Iron Curtain. It was all tightly controlled after Czechoslovakia became a Soviet socialist state post-World War II. So the United States government strongly discouraged visiting Prague, if it was allowed at all. And if you did come here, you could expect to be monitored and surveilled. You would have had to go through an extensive visa process. You'd have to prove the purpose of your trip. And usually you'd have to be sponsored by a travel agency or something like that. But independent travel, the sort we're doing now, that wasn't even a thing. So the Czechoslovakian Soviet government not only monitored tourists, but there were certain areas where you couldn't go. It was off limits. And even interacting with locals was restricted often. So a little history behind it. Czechoslovakia was an independent nation between the Austro-Hungarian Empire, circa 1918, and the Nazi invasion in 1938. Then when the Soviets, quote-unquote, liberated the Czech lands during World War II, this is 1945, the Czechs were forced to live under communism. Joseph Stalin viewed Prague as a prize, and you can see why when you visit. He thought of Eastern Europe as the spoils of war because he had lost so many Russian lives defeating the Nazis. So they installed a planned economy that was introduced where the rich were basically turned poor overnight. 95% of privately owned businesses were nationalized. Most of Prague woke up with bank balances one-tenth of what they were when they went to bed the night before. You think that couldn't happen today? I've heard Jordan Peterson say, if you think it's scary when a strong man takes office, you should see what weak men are capable of. What's the first thing you think of when you hear frozen bank account? You probably think of the pansy prime minister to the north of the U.S. Do you have any doubt that that gal there would destroy Canada to rule over the ashes while wearing pink and maybe blackface? He would. So yeah, Czechoslovakia, those who own nice homes, they were forced out. They were given accommodation in the countryside. It was all straight out of the Communist Manifesto. From each according to his ability, to each according to his need. That's what Karl Marx said. The Communism Museum in Prague, probably the most interesting, educational, and terrifying museum I've been to. Every American should visit, especially now. If for no other reason, it serves as a warning. The theme of the Communism Museum, the dream, the reality, the nightmare. The top museums in the world, for my money, probably in no particular order, would be the Communism Museum in Prague, the World War II Museum in New Orleans, and the British Museum in London. I would say honorable mention going to the Musée d'Orsay in Paris, which if you like Impressionism, you could probably skip the Louvre. Although the Louvre's worth a visit, don't get me wrong. But it is giant, and you could spend all day in there. And the problem with going to museums with somebody else is that you don't know how long they're going to want to stare at one particular painting. Or at the World War II Museum, how much are they going to read? How many personal stories are they going to want to listen to in the headphones? So it's kind of hard to go to museums with others unless they have exactly the same interests as you, which never happens. So I'm a big proponent of going to museums by myself. But I digress. Where was I? Czech citizens. Okay, so they're living under communism all those years between 1945 and 1989, and they feared speaking freely even inside their own homes because the walls were frequently bugged. So they had to watch what they say, not just indoors, but outdoors, because they didn't know who was secret police. So a tattletale would be given special privileges, like more bread or a vacation to the other Soviet bloc countries. For example, they'd be allowed to take a weekend trip to the Black Sea in Romania or Bulgaria, but never the West. Then the Velvet Revolution of 89 restored democracy in Czechoslovakia, and that corresponded with the fall of communism around the Soviet bloc countries. So Hungary, Poland, Bulgaria, Romania, they all experienced the fall of communism. Then a year later, George H.W. Bush became the first U.S. president to visit Czechoslovakia in its 70-year history. He was welcomed enthusiastically. They had 100,000 people that gathered to hear him speak in Wenceslas Square. And then due to nationalist tensions in Czechoslovakia, the country was divided into Czech Republic and Slovak Republic. This was January 193. Prague, like Budapest, has the most intricate detail in the design of its buildings. And they called Prague the City of Spires because they have so many of them towering over the five-story buildings. And not just the facades are beautiful, but the interiors, everything. So the roads are excellent. Except when you're trying to see the city on a Lime scooter, which is one of my favorite things to do. You tend to bounce and your watch falls off. It's not good, but it's a cool experience to traipse around the city on a Lime scooter. It's wonderful. So for the ROADs, they use these little blocks of stone for many of the streets, and the sidewalks have them too. Even in the suburbs, you'll see these little stones everywhere that are the surface of the roads or sidewalks. But they have them even in Prague 6, where we're staying now, which would probably be considered a suburb. And I've actually seen these stones being replaced. So the men will grab these little squares, like they're playing Scrabble. They have three or four in each hand, and then hammer them each in place, one by one. It's pretty awesome. So yeah, we're staying in Prague 6. We stayed here in the summer of 2019 and really liked the area, obviously. They have a bunch of parks, and we'd see a lot of pram strollers and thought, hey, if we ever have a little one, this would be a great place to return to. But to give you an idea of how much inflation has impacted prices worldwide, the one bedroom we stayed in that we rented in 2019 was a third the cost of what we're paying this time for a one bedroom. We downloaded the public transportation app, which allows for unlimited rides on the subway and trams and any other sort of public transport. The cost for that is only 500 Czech, which is $25 USD. They also have Uber here, which is nice, especially when your toddler is tired of walking and you're not well enough to carry her. So we live like locals. There are restaurants and pubs all around us. They have little grocery stores on just about every corner. And then if you need more selection, there's a Tesco Express about a 5-minute walk from us. Tesco is like the Euro Walmart. And then underneath our place on the first floor, there's a Vietnamese restaurant where the yellow duck curry is the best, or I should say yellow curry duck. It's the best I've ever had. So they eat it the same way people eat fish back in the States sometimes, where you can see the head of the duck and then eat his body. That's not true. I don't know why I keep lying to you, but that's not how it's eaten. Oh, and for you football fans, at least the football where you don't use your hands, the Prague Sparta Stadium is about a 10-minute walk from our place. People often ask me, how many days do you need in Prague? I usually say just 2 days, maybe 3, to see it all. But I'd strongly encourage you to stay as long as you can. You'll see Prague Castle, St. Vitus Cathedral, the Charles Bridge. All of those were built in the 14th century. The astronomical clock, Our Lady of Ten, Wenceslas Square, the Communism Museum, of course. And then day trips. There's a UNESCO town called Český Krumlov. It's about a 2.5-hour bus ride south. There's a spa town, maybe an hour and a half west, called Karlovy Vary. That's really nice. Then to the north, you can visit Terezín concentration camp. Other than that, cool destinations are by train, really. So Vienna, Bratislava, Budapest. That was actually the itinerary that I used to guide groups when I was touring folks around these parts back before COVID. Let me finish with another segment of Kids Say the Darndest Things. We were leaving the Kebab place the other night, shout out Flight of the Conchords, and we had gotten some kebabs, and I go to grab everything, and my daughter could see that I was struggling to carry everything, so she sticks her hands out to offer me some help, and she says, "Dada, do you have enough hands?" No, I don't think she's ever heard me say that. If so, I don't remember saying it, although it does sound like something I would say. Anyway, hope y'all are grateful for something today, someone today. Handshakes and hugs to everyone listening. Thanks for tuning in. Till next time.